time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Indeed, on this Friday the 13th of October, 2023. Good to have you with us. As the man with the eloquent voice, Chad Erickson, said, I am Jason Page. All right, a lot to do over the next 60 minutes. We've got Sam Yarnell for most of that time hanging out with us on the show today. And there are some interesting odds and ends I'm going to finish the show with today, including one. And I got to look and see if there's a bet on this. I've been running around so much this morning, I haven't been able to check. Lexi Thompson to make the cut on the PGA Tour. How cool is that? It could happen. Could happen. We'll keep an eye on it. There he is, the beautiful Sam Yarnell, dressed in one of his four suits, he tells me. Well, Sam, what? You got four suits? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. What? What's wrong with letting the world know you have four suits?
To all the listeners out there, I have 40 suits, and they're all designer.
Listen, there's nothing wrong. Four's a good number for somebody your age. I didn't have four suits when I was 23. I might have had one.
Well, being 23 in 2023, you kind of have to have four suits.
All right, fair enough.
Four's a minimum.
Four is the minimum? Is that what you said? Okay.
Yeah, I would say four is a minimum for a 23-year-old in a 23-year-old with a college degree in 2023.
All right. Thursday night NFL football action. Chiefs to 5-1, beat the Broncos. We thought they'd beat the Broncos. I didn't like the over like you did, right? Or did I like the over? What was it? What did I have it backwards?
You liked the over.
I liked the over.
The
you liked the under
in the game, that's but I liked the Chiefs team total over.
Yeah, that
more happen. Than I liked the under.
Yeah,
that didn't work out.
And well. On my player props, I went 1-1. I had Patrick Mahomes going over. I had Russell Wilson going over as well. Russell Wilson, did he even throw for 100 yards in this game? I mean, it's astonishing. I just want to say something to kind of lead off this conversation today as it relates to the Chiefs. When I was a little kid, we had this thing called Nintendo. It was like an 8-bit system. And compared to what you kids have today, it doesn't look anything like the video games of today. And there used to be these games I would play, and I got so good at these games that when I'd play them, I would intentionally make mistakes to let the opposing team think they had a chance, because it would just make it more interesting to have to come back late in a game or something to that effect. I'd fool around. I'd mess around. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't care what the final score of this game was. I don't care that it was 16-8 with, you know, 4 or 5 minutes remaining in the game and they get the late garbage field goal to make it a 2-score game and they go on to win. I don't care. The Chiefs are playing with teams. The Chiefs are messing around. The Chiefs are running experimental plays in NFL games against NFL teams. Nobody points this out, by the way. They are running experimental plays against real NFL teams. It's almost like they're practicing within an NFL game. They ran a play last night with Kadarius Toney out of the Wildcat where he was, you know, to catch the ball and then he was supposed to throw it or something like that. And it wound up a whole mess and they wind up punting it away. I don't care. And you have to watch every play of these games to understand the Chiefs are just on a different level. You know, they're just on a different level than everybody else. That they can simply experiment in an NFL game. Some might call it disrespect towards their opponents when they do this sort of thing. But then again, Denver doesn't deserve all that much respect given the way that they've conducted themselves here through the first now 6 weeks of the season. But I this is why I don't go crazy about margin of victory and final scores. And I said, I don't like those big spreads. What do I keep saying? Those big spreads scare the bejesus out of me. And last night was fishy to me. And they wound up, they wound up getting the cover at 19-8. So what was it, 10? 10 and a half, I think?
10 and a half.
Yeah, yep. It was 10 and a half.
They covered by the hook.
But, you know, that's why those big spreads scare me. With 4 minutes left, you were sweating last night when you probably didn't think you were going to be sweating if you wound up taking the Chiefs with the 10 and a half. So, or minus the 10 and a half. But I'm just watching Kansas City right now, and they could just mess around. They can step up. They are one of those teams that can turn it on when they need to, turn it on when they want to. And we'll see as we continue to go through this schedule and you know, they have to play some harder opponents, and what do they do in those games? Because you look at a lot of who they've played so far. Minnesota, now Denver, Chicago. I mean, you kind of look at Kansas City through the first six games and you're kind of going, eh. So there is some you know, it would be fair to critique who they've beaten so far and in looking at some of their schedule. But Kansas City could literally mess around in games and just try out trick plays and things like that. And if it goes wrong, eh, whatever. We'll pick it up on the next one or the next drive or whatever it may be. That was one of the things that stood out to me last night as I was watching this game. There's a whole other conversation to have about Denver, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, Sam, I wanted to get your thoughts on what we saw last night.
Well, I agree with you, Jason, but only to an extent. I think that the Chiefs are doing this, but I also think it's what's going to bite them and kind of lead to their downfall this season. I understand the purpose of them doing it, right? They kind of, it's not that they are just that good that they can do it against NFL teams. It's that they have to do it because they don't have talent in that offense. That is one of the most severe lackluster offenses in terms of strictly athletic talent in the NFL. It's simple as that. They have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time who's not even halfway through his career, hands down, and they have probably the greatest tight end of all time also on their team, hands down. Their offensive line is solid.
And that masks a lot of things, and that masks a lot of the inefficiencies of this team. I agree.
That's what I'm saying. And because they lack talent at skill positions on a dire level, they have to resort to these kinds of plays, the Kadarius Toney plays, the weird plays where they end up just throwing it underneath to Travis Kelce as a safety valve. Though there's normally, if you look at the all 22 of those plays, there's normally some weird crossing pattern that the receivers are trying to run to get the defense crossed up because they know that they don't have enough physical talent and athletic talent to beat their opponents. That's why they're resorting to these plays, and it's what's going to lead to their downfall this season. Think about the Lions game. What happened in that? They were played against better athletes.
No Kelce, though. No Kelce in that game.
No Kelce, that's true. And if they have Travis Kelce, they probably might be a different result,
right?
28-21 or 35-21, even, no doubt. But the Jaguars game, they had Kelce back. They played with their food in that game as well. This is a team that struggles to really get the offense churning when the Mahomes to Kelce connection isn't working. And quite frankly, it's not something you can rely on a weekly basis, because you're going to come across a team like the Chargers or the Dolphins or the Eagles. Maybe not the Dolphins. Their defense isn't great. But the Chargers or the Eagles, who they both will go up against in the next 4 weeks, they're pretty good over the middle defensively. They're going to give Mahomes and Kelce a little bit of a fit. I'm interested to see how the Chiefs turn out over these next 4 weeks. I think they could go 1-3.
You know what's interesting, though? I'm looking at the rest of their schedule real quick before we get into the Broncos. I'm looking at the rest of their schedule, and, I mean, they got the Eagles and the Bills over the remainder of the schedule. There's not a lot of games that really scare you. I mean, they could wind up, you know, and look, I know we've got two unbeaten teams right now, but they're going to probably wind up with the best record in the AFC. I don't see who's going to wind up with a better record. I mean, they get the Bengals at home, you know, in Kansas City.
They get the Bengals at home, but that's going to be late in the season, and I bet you that
the Dolphins at home.
What is that, week 17?
Yeah.
I bet you week 17, Cincinnati's fighting for a playoff spot.
They're
probably
going to
be just on the fringe.
Yeah.
They're going to really want that game. The Chargers are going to be tough.
All their tough games. Their three tough games are at home. Eagles, Bills, and Chiefs are all in Kansas City. I mean, the schedule really does set up well for them, you know. I mean, where you look at a lot of teams, it feels like everybody's got a tough schedule. And maybe it's just because we just are so accustomed to the Chiefs being so good that we don't, you know, we don't view these as tough games. But I mean, you also look at their schedule so far this year, other than the Bears, every game they've been in has been a scrap. Lost to the Lions by one, beat the Jags by 8, blow out the Bears, hang on to beat the Jets. Chiefs, Vikings is, you know, that's a close game late. Vikings with the football and an opportunity. And the game against the Broncos is 16-8.
The only two games that the Chiefs have won by more than one score this season are against the Bears and the Broncos. Let that sink in.
Yeah. Look, I think it's real. And you know what? I'll agree with you that from an offensive weapons standpoint, you have to be concerned. Maybe they make a move at the deadline here in the next, you know, week and a half. Keep an eye on the Chiefs. If they feel like they can only, that there is a ceiling with this team, maybe they go and make a move at the deadline. All right, move away from them for a second. I got to talk about the Broncos. Because this thing now, I mean, this is full-on dumpster fire now. I mean, you didn't get anything out of this offense last night. You've got the trade deadline coming in basically, you know, 2 weeks and 4 days, something like that. And if you were trying to trade pieces away to get draft capital, because remember, you gave it all up to Seattle to get Russell Wilson. If that's your plan, which, by the way, might be the greatest fleecing of all time if you're the Seattle Seahawks, getting what they got for Russell Wilson. And looking at what Russell Wilson is and where the Broncos are now. One of the greatest fleecings of all time. Maybe since Babe Ruth. Just saying. So you're watching this Broncos team, Sam, and you have to start asking yourself, where is the path to rebuilding? You've got salary cap issues when it comes to Russell Wilson. You've got dead cap space until 2025. You can't dump him. Otherwise, you've got $1 zillion in dead cap space. You can't bring in good players to surround him because of the cap issue, because of how much he's making. I mean, that team is in a indefinite, really bad situation. Mm-hmm. When you look at the next 2 years, easy. You don't have draft picks. You don't have any talent, clearly. You're not going to be able to trade away talent to get great draft picks. I don't know where the Broncos are going right now. I mean, this is, I don't mean to sound panicked, but if I'm a Broncos fan right now and I'm standing back and looking at this today, I'm panicking because we're not going to be good for a long time the way this thing looks.
People of Denver, remain calm.
No!
I am here.
Fire!
I am here to ease your tensions. It is not as dire as Jason is making it seem. This team is a good quarterback away from being competitive. And I think that's what they showed me last night. With what receivers?
They have nobody. Jerry Jeudy's terrible.
Marvin Mims is one of the best young receivers in the league. I put him right up there with Zay Flowers, Puka Nacua, Quentin Johnston. I love Marvin Mims. I'm very high on Marvin Mims. Cortland Sutton is not bad. Cortland Sutton is an NFL wide receiver too. Jerry Jeudy, yeah, not great. They gotta move on from Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy gonna be a Kansas City Chief. I would put a lot of money on it.
Trade him in the division?
Yeah, who cares? It's the Broncos. Jaleel McLaughlin, very, very talented young running back.
I like him.
I think it's time to punt on Javonte Williams. The injury just seems to have derailed his career a little bit too much. But I'm telling you, this offense is a quarterback away. Like, they're simply one good quarterback away. Russell Wilson is, you know, and we never went over that Marshawn Lynch clip. I never played you that Club Shay Shay Marshawn Lynch clip, but he talked about it in that clip. And I just always think about all of the examples of how Russell Wilson is terrible for NFL teams all around. He's not great on the field anymore. When he was in Seattle, he could at least get away with being okay on the field and nothing else would matter. But now he's bad on the field along with being a horrible teammate. And that's become infectious in this team. You can see it in the way they play football. They just don't want it. They're not out there playing at 100% seemingly. And I put it all on Russell Wilson. He's the captain of the team. He's the quarterback. It's the quarterback's job to kind of be that leader, especially when you're 1-4 going into a game against the Kansas City Chiefs. You got to put up more than 8 points. You got to.
Even if you want to argue they're a quarterback away, You're stuck with Russell. You think Russell Wilson's going to sit next year if they get Caleb Williams? Let's just say it. And that turns out as bad as possible. You're going to sit Russell Wilson making $1 zillion? No, of course you're not. So you're still at least 2 years away. You're basically 2 years away from even being respectable. And then you got to assume that if it is Caleb Williams or anybody else that they go and get in the draft, that quarterback is ready day one to be successful. And we've seen the number of those guys that are ready to do that at the NFL level, few and far between. I mean, what is it with the face?
I was thinking, you said what would happen with Russell Wilson. So my mind immediately went to, they'll figure out a way to cut him. Cap hit.
I told you it's $80 million.
No, his cap hit year by year through 2028.
Yeah.
$35 million mm-hmm. next year, $55 million yes. the year after that.
That's what I'm saying.
$58 million the year after that, $53 million. Oh my!
But I think there's an out in there. You got to look at, because I think there's an out in there after 25. I'm not sure, but I think there's a way out after 25.
After 26, but it's a $31 million dead cap hit.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. Speaking of bad situation, let me just finish with this. Did you see Steve Smith last night? Steve Smith on NFL Network. Steve Smith has been critical of Jerry Jeudy, to say the least. This was last night during an NFL Network like pregame broadcast. Listen to the story Steve Smith tells with Mike Garofalo about an interaction he had with the Broncos receiver Jerry.
Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was walking by, and Steve called out to him, and he got a different reaction.
I called out to him because on my podcast, Cut to It, I just talked about guys that maybe have not showed up in a way or in a manner. And so the word that I've used to describe him in the past was a jag, just a guy. When I saw him, he's playing well. I wanted to say to him face to face, like, hey, I know I said some things in the past I probably shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. That's what I wanted to say to him. His response, Mike Rob, was ninja.
Ninja?
Yes, I'm using the word ninja. I'm just using the word ninja. I don't mess with you. And it was a curse word. And so I was like, all right. And then he repeated it. So I'll say it again. I'm sorry that I said you were a jag, just a guy who's an average wide receiver they use a first round pick on that isn't doing anything. I hope today that you actually show up in a way that you haven't showed up in the last couple of years since they draft you. So if you ever got a problem with Agent 89, I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver that they eventually will move on. And when teams call me and asking, should they trade for you? I will say, no, don't trade for Jerry Jeudy, because he's mentally unable to handle constructive criticism from people who watch specifically, can he be a wide receiver? He could be a wide receiver. He's a tier three. Go back into the studio. I'm done now. Thank you.
Rhett?
First of all, I'll play a little devil's advocate here. I'll play both sides of it. If I'm Jerry Jeudy and it's just prior to game time and I've got this guy coming up to me who's been wrecking me in the media, I don't care who you are. Hall of Fame receiver, all this stuff. Steve Smith, wait, first of all, what are you doing? What are you doing? You think you can just walk up to a guy after you wreck him in the media constantly and he's just going to be like, bygones be bygones. I don't care. Yeah, great. First of all, young players today don't have a lot of respect for the guys that came before them. So I don't expect, Jerry Jeudy or any of these young players to bow at the altars of guys that came before them. Should they? Probably, but they don't. But at the same time, if I'm Jerry Jeudy, if somebody wrecked me in the press, I'm not going to run up to him and be like, hey, man, like we're besties. I don't blame Jerry Jeudy.
This is inexcusable from Steve Smith. I mean, when I heard this, I had to pull up Steve Smith's football reference page, at which point I noticed that for at very least, half of the, how long was he in the NFL? 15 years? At least half of those years, he was nothing more than a jag. He was nothing more than just a guy. Two-time All-Pro, including his, rookie season?
One of the best undersized receivers to ever play the game, though.
Yeah, literally. Sure. But, when one of your all-pro years you have 154 yards receiving, I don't really buy it. Sorry, Steve Smith. You're not really more than a Jag yourself. So, yeah, it's just kind of wild for me. Like, of all people to say that, Steve Smith? Like, not Randy Moss or these other famous receivers in the media, Shannon Sharp, these other receivers who were actually, like, not Jags. For Steve Smith to come out and say that, yeah, just kind of crazy and also very disrespectful to the entire media game. Like, that puts such a bad look on
that
every media personality there is, because now that's just how Jerry Jeudy is going to look at all media personalities. So on behalf of all of us, thank you, Steve Smith. We appreciate that. Yeah, really just an L on all sides for Steve Smith. I don't see what the point of any of this was.
By the way, Steve Smith snubbed from the Hall of Fame finalists list this past year. Second year of eligibility. We'll see what happens going forward with that. Maybe we'll ask Jason Cole about it. He's a Hall of Fame selector the next time we get him on the show. All right, let's do some baseball here for a few minutes. Last night, we obviously see the Philadelphia Phillies move through to the LCS in what has to be one of the most unlikely LCSs that I think we're ever going to see. I mean, if you think about where we were at the start of this postseason, all the conversation we had about World Series favorites, World Series picks. So look at the four teams that comprise the ALCS and NLCS is pretty remarkable. I'm going to say this. Much like I have predicted that Aroldis Chapman will blow up somewhere in this postseason and cost the Rangers a game, which he almost did the other night. He almost blew up against the Orioles. He walked the leadoff guy and gave up a double playground ball, and one of the players just decided they weren't going to take pitches to a guy that couldn't throw strikes. But you look at this Rangers team, and Aroldis Chapman will blow up somewhere in this ALCS and cost them a game. I say the same thing about Craig Kimbrel. I have never been a Craig Kimbrel guy. I think against great hitters, he has a tough. He doesn't have a put away pitch to me. And somewhere in this NLCS, he's going to come up in a big spot against the Diamondbacks and give up the goat. I just want to say that. Look at this series. As much as it's unlikely, I actually think these are going to be two long series. I don't think these are going to be short series. I think you're going to get two lengthy series. I would not be surprised if the Diamondbacks, who are playing very well right now with a ton of confidence, again, playing with house money. And the argument of, well, they're, a young team and inexperienced. Well, now they've won two series. So the argument to me, and they beat the Dodgers, who are a team with a ton of experience. So the experience thing doesn't wash with me once you get to this point. If you're a team like the Diamondbacks, I wouldn't be shocked if the Diamondbacks wound up in the World Series, Sam. Turner now gets his first hit. Get him at plus 500 right now, by the way, to win the whole thing.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. It's and that one misses badly. That was the Phillies look really good, man. Nick Castellanos is a very good postseason hitter. Four home runs in the NLDS.
Back-to-back games with two.
Did he go? Led the team. The Phillies team is it's going to be a hard team to beat, especially in a seven-game series, right? It's not a five-game series anymore, so that Arizona pitching staff is going to get a little further stretched out. Can Merrill Kelly do it again? I don't know. We'll see.
Plus 150 to the Diamondbacks. The Phillies are minus 178 over in the ALCS. Meanwhile, it's the Astros minus 148. The Rangers plus 126. And again, those World Series odds as of this moment. Matter of fact, Diamondbacks dropped a little bit. Houston is plus 185, Philadelphia plus 200, Rangers plus 300, Diamondbacks plus 480, all of that on the field. Sportsbook, the unofficial sportsbook of the Sports Wrap with Jason Page. Why? Because they don't pay.
Six up, six down for Rangers.
Yeah, it's crazy how I told you months ago that my world said when I was just coming on the show as a guest, and I would bet on the Astros to win the World Series.
I still think it's remarkable that you've got all these great teams that are, and none of them made the LCS. None of them made the LCS. None of them made it. And Rob Manfred sitting there saying, let's be patient. They said they're going to look at it in the offseason. But saying, it's only the second year. Got to be patient.
Two on, one away. And Rojas in the center field.
See, I don't think there's – here's the thing. Unless you're one of these great teams that didn't advance, I don't think there's going to be a ton of teams clamoring for a change in the rules. That or in the way the postseason is set up.
Michael Harris with an outstanding
because unless you're one of those five or six powerhouses that have struggled in that situation, I don't think you're going to make the argument that, it was the rust. It was all the days off that caused it. I think there's going to be 23 or 24 other teams in baseball that are like, screw you, too bad. I don't think they're going to care. I don't know if there's going to be enough of a push because it's the owners that drive the bus on this. And if you're an owner of a mid-market team or a team that's going to be perennially a wild card team, why should you care? I don't think there's going to be enough of a push. I don't think you're going to see anything happen in this offseason. And again, 2 years of data is not enough data. If we were calling this a true study of the subject, there's not enough data. There's a knee-jerk reaction, though, that's going to be out there, and we've obviously seen it. All right, that's all we need to do on the baseball because Sam Sam is chomping at the bit today. Oh, is he chomping? He is chomping at. Yeah, he loves the book. He loves the book. He's like what's his name? He's like Brick. He's like Brick Tamlin in Anchorman. He loves board. He loves board. We'll get to that coming back on the other side. Page versus the Prince. Guess who had the better week last week? You know who had the better week last week? This guy.
By the hook.
We'll get to it next on the Sports Wrap. Stay with us. It's Friday! And even on Friday the 13th, that means it's time for Page versus the Prince. The battle for NFL picks supremacy wages on. Yours truly, 3-1 last week. Sam Yarnell was 2-2. We'll see if he can do any better this week. Cue it up!
It's Friday, and that means it's time for the weekly face-off for sports betting bragging rights. It's Paige versus the Prince on the cash-in.
Sam Yarnell, you get to go first.
All right, Jason. Like I've been saying all show, seeing the board incredibly clearly this week. One with the board this week. You could even say, and I've got four winners cooked up and ready for you. So first of all, we're going to start in Cleveland. Now, Deshaun Watson not playing in this game just makes this pick even better. San Francisco -9.5. Why? The 49ers are that team. They're that good this year. They've got skill at every position. They've got mediocre skill at quarterback, but they've got above average skill at literally every other position on the team, offense and defense. I don't see a weakness in this team right now, and barring injury, I think that they're going to walk all the way to the NFC Championship game and meet the Eagles there. I love the Niners -9.5 this week in Cleveland against DTR. And the Cleveland Browns, my goodness, that team is in shambles. All right, next, we're going to go Bears-Vikings over 43.5. Why? Neither of these teams play defense. I don't really like either of these defenses to do anything in this game, and Kirk Cousins seems to always be playing in a 24-20 game. That gets you over this low total of 43.5. I also think there's a weird chance that this turns into a gong show and a blowout for Minnesota. We could see like a 48-20 game here, but especially coming off of last week, I've regained confidence in this Chicago offense, and I think that the Vikings defense is worse than the Commanders, so I expect the Bears to put up points in this one. Next, we're going back to the well with the Texans +1.5. It's what bit me last week and kept me at 2-2 away from 3-1 by the hook. But we're going to go back to them this week against the Saints at home, getting 1.5. The home dog runs faster, and I love the Texans offense. I feel like I come on this segment and talk about it every week, how much I love that Stroud-Dell connection. Damian Pierce still electric, and I love the D'Amico Ryans coaching job. I really think that he's going to take this team to new heights, and I love him this week against New Orleans. I also don't think Derek Carr is completely healthy. I think they're just a little reluctant to put in Jameis Winston. I don't know why. I'd still probably take the Texans if Winston were starting, but with Carr, it makes it so much easier to take the Texans +1.5 against the New Orleans Saints. And finally, we're going to take the Lions and Bucks over 42.5. I love this play. It's a low total, and I think that the Lions offense had their coming out party last week. They're going to continue this week against the Bucks defense, and the same goes for Baker Mayfield in that Bucks offense. The Lions defense hasn't done tremendously this season. They've been really good against the run, but they've struggled against the pass, and Baker Mayfield knows how to game manage enough when he's got a Hall of Fame wide receiver Mike Evans on one side and Chris Godwin on the other. I believe Evans is going to go in this one. I love this game to go over the low total of 42.5. I think that Goff and Laporta will connect for a touchdown. I think that David Montgomery will probably run for one, maybe two touchdowns in this game. I really like going over the low total here. That's my four pack, Jason. I love a ton of other picks, but those are the four that I love the most. Keep it locked to my X handle at Sam_Yarnell. I'll tweet out my Prince's bonus picks later.
Recap those one more time.
So San Francisco -9.5 at Cleveland. Bears Vikings over 43.5. Texans getting 1.5 at home against the Saints, and the Lions Bucks over 42.5.
Sam Yarnell, ladies and gentlemen. Can you stick around for 5 minutes? 5 more minutes?
Yeah, because I want to. Okay, I'll give out my bonus picks on here.
All right, here we go. Who do I like this weekend? Might surprise you. Might surprise you a little bit. Let me start with a game that Sam alluded to. And I was actually going to go with the same pick he did, which is Niners -9.5 in Cleveland. We're on the same page. We're simpatico on that. But I'm going to go, because we both have the same pick there, I'll throw in another one. Over 35.5. 35.5! And by the way, I don't think it's going to be DTR. I think it's going to be PJ Walker getting called up off the practice squad.
Whoa.
That's what I've heard. So it could be PJ Walker, a quarterback, who's a little more capable than DTR and obviously has a little more experience. But I think over 35.5, because the Browns defense going to be on the field too much. I just think they're going to get overrun. And as much as people want to say, well, maybe, you know, San Francisco hasn't seen a defense quite like Cleveland and some of the things they could do in the pass rush and all that, they ain't seen nothing like San Francisco yet from an offensive standpoint. I think that game goes over 35.5. I also like the Niners -9.5. Falcons, you know, I have been very wishy-washy and I have vacillated a lot on the Falcons this year. There's your word of the day, by the way. Vacillated. Falcons -2.5 at home against the Commanders. I've put a fraud alert on the Commanders, if you've been listening to the show. And I believe this is that week where we go into full fraud effect. Atlanta last week, really impressed. Desmond Ridder played, I think, his finest game as an NFL quarterback. Here's another thing. They don't lose at home with Desmond Ridder at quarterback. The guy's never lost at home in his NFL career. I don't think it happens this week against Washington, -2.5. Take the Falcons, -2.5. Raiders and Pats. How the Patriots are only -2.5 amazes me. I know Jimmy G hasn't been good. In fact, he's been bad. Have you seen the Patriots as bad as the Raiders have been? The Patriots, outside of Denver, maybe Chicago, biggest dumpster fire, not just in the NFL, but in professional sports. What's the impetus for that to change on the road in Las Vegas? Are Patriot fans even going to want to go to Vegas to watch how bad this is going to be? Would you waste your money making that trip? There might actually be more Raider fans this weekend than Patriot fans, and that's rare to say when the Raiders play a home game. Take the Raiders -2.5. Last but not least, this was the tough one for me, but I wanted to challenge myself. I like the Jets. I like the Jets +7. If you can get it at 7.5, get it. But I like the Jets in this game. I think they can keep it close. Philadelphia's offense is not overwhelmed. In fact, it is underwhelmed. The Jets have shown flashes at times. I also like the under. 41, I like the under in that game. But I think the Jets stay close. I think you're seeing Zach Wilson gain a little confidence every week. They've made it clear they're not going anywhere else at the quarterback position right now. They're sticking with him, which has to be a boost of confidence for him that they haven't basically gone and picked somebody up off the scrap heap to go and replace him. I think the Jets, you ride with them. +7 this week at home against the Eagles. Do I think they win? No. But I think they keep it close. So Paige's picks for this Friday the 13th, week 6 in the NFL. Niners -9.5 in Cleveland. We like the over at 35.5. Falcons -2.5 against Washington. Raiders -2.5 against the Pats. And the Jets +7 at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you got, Sam?
So we've actually, me being one with the board and seeing the board as well as I have this week, we've actually gone against each other on a couple of those. Yeah, exactly. That was me with the board last night, meditating, trying to understand it, focus on it, feel it. So here are my bonus picks. Ready? Eagles -7 at the Jets. I just think the Eagles boat race them in this one. This is the Devontae Smith coming out party. He might go for 2 or 3 touchdowns in this game. Bengals Seahawks. We're going under the 44.5. I don't trust the Seahawks offense, and I still think Joe Burrow is injured. That said, I like the Bengals -2.5. I think that they're going to beat the Seahawks at least by a field goal. They're a very good team, and the Bengals defense is something that we haven't talked enough about this year. Colts Jags, I like going under 44.5 here. Gardner Minshew starting for the Colts for the next 4 weeks. Maybe he has something figured out, but that Jags offense didn't do anything last week.
I'm still here. Go ahead.
Okay. Colts, Jags. Jags offense didn't do anything last week. The Colts offense, they're under Gardner Minshew now. I love them under 44.5. Panthers, Dolphins over 47.5. I think the Dolphins push that game over the total themselves. I like the Commanders +2.5 in Atlanta. I think they keep that game closer than 2 points. And the Manders and the Falcons, I like going over 42.5. Both of those defenses have kind of struggled over the past couple of weeks, and I like both of those offenses to break out a little in that one.
Sam, have a wonderful weekend, my friend. I am sure I will be texting you at some point.
Sounds great, Jason. Talk to you on Monday, my man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Yarnell hanging out with us on the show. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Some odds and ends to tie it up with, including my favorite sports story potentially of the entire weekend. And it has nothing to do with the NFL or Major League Baseball. Stick around. More Sports Wrap coming your way. All right. quick notes before we wrap up the show. You've got Lexi Thompson trying to make the cut on the PGA Tour. She shot a first round 73 at the Shriners in her first round, which concluded on Friday morning. She had to finish her final two holes of the day in Las Vegas at that event. She's trying to become the first woman since the 1940s to make a 36-hole cut on the PGA Tour. Michelle Wee just missed out by one shot. One shot on the PGA Tour at the Sony Open in Honolulu a zillion years ago. And I don't know if it's going to be Lexi Thompson or somebody else, but there is going to come a day when there are women competing with the men on the PGA Tour. And I think it'll happen in my lifetime. I'm 46 years old. There are women who are getting bigger, faster, stronger. The faster probably doesn't matter as much. But you look at the way in and the evolution of the female athlete, and there is going to be a female athlete that can compete with the men on the PGA Tour. And I'll be interested to see how the men handle it when that day comes, because it is coming. I don't know if it's going to be Lexi Thompson, who hasn't made an LPGA Tour cut in 4 years. So she was an odd choice to be the female to give a sponsor's exemption to in this event, but they did, and that's fine. I think she's tied for 94th. She needs to be in the top 65 to make the cut, which means she'll have work to do in the second round. Something worth keeping an eye on, though, today. Got a few minutes? Click on Golf Channel and check it out. That's going to wrap it up for us on this Friday edition of the Sports Wrap. Have yourself a great weekend. Follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at the Back Page. We're on Twitch, JasonPage77, or just look for the Sports Wrap over on Facebook and YouTube. We'll see you back here on Monday. For Sam Yarnell, I am Jason Page. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.